afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the North Hollywood Regional Library. If you would please be so kind as to turn off your cell phones and music devices, out of respect for our performer today, that would be great. Thank you very much. My name is Tess Taylor, the president of the Los Angeles Music Network and of the National Association of Writers and Music Professionals. This is one of my pet projects, bringing music into libraries, try to make up for what's being taken out of the public schools. I'm a huge fan of books and music, so anytime I can cram the two together, I'm ecstatic. So I'm really happy to see so many of these come out on a very spooky Tuesday afternoon. You will not be sorry if you're a great artist today. It's our 1-year anniversary. Victor, would you like to tell us? We met exactly the year. So Victor is going to start the show, and perhaps you can tell us a little bit about the song that we're going to hear from you now.
I know it.
Oh, okay. So you're going to have it. Okay. Yes, turn it on. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Really good things. But for the most part, stop. Let me back up. Everything I say today is just what I'm saying. No more, no less. Just because I'm Victor Wooten, and that's a person people created, not me. Just because I'm that guy and I'm once in a war doesn't mean I'm right. It doesn't mean I know it all. But you're here, you might as well listen to me. So, but I don't claim to be right or wrong about anything I say. I just like to inspire you and give you things to think about. So with that said, when I looked at what most teachers were teaching in schools and curriculum, I found a lot of good things, but what I found out is that it is a slow process of getting good at anything. Like, for example, as parents, if you have a little child, and we say, wow, I want this child to learn to play piano. What's our first thought? What's going to be your first thought?
Lessons.
Right? Who can I send you to? Him or her to. But if you have a baby and you want that child to speak English, what do?
Start talking.
Talk to them. You put them around other people that can talk. But we don't think lessons. Right? You don't even teach your kids to speak. You just put them around people that speak and you leave them alone. You don't stick them in a room and make them practice. You don't teach them to read it first. You don't teach them the alphabet before they can say the word. You don't teach them to spell the word out before they eat one. Now let's take that same analogy and turn it into music. And we'll realize what a slow process it is. First, I want my child to play. I don't surround them with people who can play. Just leave an instrument out and let them gravitate to it. The first thing that he has to do. Here's the problem with that. Now remember, I'm just talking. Does that mean I'm right? I'm gonna talk as if I know what I'm talking about. But I might not. A kid is excited when they first see someone play music or get inspired. They get inspired by hearing it or whatever. Sending them to lessons may be a good thing. I'm not saying that it's not. But don't get me wrong. But let me point out some things to watch out for. When you take your first lesson, you learn how to do things right. That's beautiful, but there's also a problem. Because along with what's right comes what's not. And no kid wants to be wrong. So at the first lesson, when we teach them how to do something and how not to do something, the freedom of expression starts to close up. It starts to go away. Because we're afraid of being wrong. So we have to be careful with that. Here's the way my brothers, now let me go back to English. Imagine our children learning to speak, and we start by telling them what they're allowed to say and what they're not allowed to say. How old would they be before they were free to say what they chose? Music's the same way. That's why we're 15 and 20 years old before we get comfortable. So we don't teach our kids to speak. We just let them do it. Right? We don't teach them to read it until they've been speaking for years. They don't learn any English rules as far as theory. Nouns, pronouns, verbs, conjugating verbs, adjectives. They don't learn any of that until they've been speaking for years. But in music, a lot of the times we think we have to know the rules first before we play. And that works. It's just slow. Not that it's wrong. It's just slow. So how can we speed up? I've been talking about these things for quite a while. After I did some research on what was being taught, I looked at books to see what was in them. And in my opinion, there was very little of the things that we really needy to be a good musician? And then it would, I had to ask the question, I kind of got this from my parents, from my mom, is what does the world need with another good musician? I mean, do we need it more than this? Maybe. But we really should need more than this. So why am I going to spend all this time writing an instrument that's not going to make me a better person? And none of the curriculum addressed that. It just made you a good musician very slow. Right? And what we find out is that most of the good musicians that I admire were horrible people. But this is the method I'm supposed to follow. I mean, you're laughing because you understand what I'm talking about, right? So I just wanted to not say something different, but say what I thought. What I thought. And people, after sharing this with lots of people for years in settings like this at music stores, and then for about 10 years ago, we started running camps in the woods, and these music and nature camps. So nature is a powerful thing that I may get into in a minute. But we started running these camps and helping people with a different approach to music. And in 6 days, we were like seeing world-class musicians come. I mean, one of the girls I met at my very first camp is now playing bass for Beyonce. And I'm not taking credit for that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking credit for it. But something in her opened up. And for the last 3 years or so, more than that now, she's traveled to more places than I have.
Victor, where are those camps?
The camps are in Tennessee. In Nashville, Tennessee. Well, right outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Not a sales plug, but if you want to know more information, go to my website, which is victorweaver.com. But this is my long approach to answering test questions, Mark, is that people started asking me to write a book with this information in it. And I knew they wanted an instruction manual. And that's exactly what I didn't want to write, because that's just another method. And what people were going to do was attribute that method to me. So it was going to be my method. That's totally opposite of what I want to do. When you're learning to talk, no one's telling you to speak like me. Your dad doesn't say, use my method. They just put you in a room and let you figure it out. And with that process, you grow up with your own voice. Where in music, we're always talking. No, you don't. You have your voice. Make it better. No one ever told you to find your speaking voice. You have it. So musically, the same way. So putting these ideas into a book, people were saying, write a book. I said, no. I didn't want an instruction book that I'd have to defend. As soon as someone disagrees, you know, with the Victor Wooten method, now I can defend it. So for years, I stayed away from it. Until one day I was in a car with a good buddy of mine, a great bass player, and a great friend, his name is Steve Bailey, and he had a brand new copy of a book by Richard Bach, one of my favorite books, called Illusions. A little simple read, and read it in a couple hours. And I had read that book when I was about 15. And so I'm riding down the street in Myrtle Beach where he lived, flipping through it, loving the book, and I'm thinking, man, you know, I could probably write this book. Because it's right along with my thinking. And then a bell went off. That's what you should do. Write a fictional novel. Fiction, you can put anything in fiction. And you don't have to defend it. Because we're starting from the standpoint of it's not true. And I love that. I love that. It's like going to see Star Wars. No one's going to argue over Yoda, you know, or whether Darth Vader is really Luke's father, you know. You can just enjoy it. And if you get something out of it, it's yours. So I wrote a fictional novel about a bass player who's struggling. And you know, you can insert your own instrumental. You don't have to have an instrument. It's just a person who's struggling in life. And he's a musician, and he's doing all the right things. He's playing the scales, he's doing all the things he's told, but he's not getting gigs. And then one day, so some strange man just appears in his house. He's wearing a motorcycle helmet, a blue jumpsuit, he's carrying a skateboard. We're God. And he says, I'm your teacher. And the student said, well, what am I teaching? He says, nothing. I said, what do you mean nothing? He said, I can't teach anyone. He said, well, why do you call yourself a teacher? He said, well, a teacher is just a title. He said, I can't show you anything. I said, I can't teach you anything, but I can show you the Bible. And he explained to him that there are no teachers. Unless we live in an age where you can take a plug like the Matrix and plug it into your back of your head, there's no teachers. If I want to teach you a major scale, what do? I show it to you. You don't get it the first time, I show you. So I'm a shower, but you're the teacher. Right? You got to teach yourself. The teacher shows you. Explains it to you so that you can teach yourself. You don't get it, I'll show it to you a different way. But who's the teacher? So that's what this teacher calling himself Michael is saying. He can't teach you anything. But this starts a strange journey. He shows how music is nothing but a representation of life and vice versa. And how you can use examples from music to allow you to see life better. And so what the student is finding out after a while is that what he's learning about music is making him a better person. One example. If I play two notes, practice playing notes, but we never practice playing space. He teaches them about articulation, about rhythm, about tone. Every guitar has a tone knob on it, and we have no idea how to use it. Phrasing. So many different things. And what he realized, what the student realized, is when he starts to utilize these other aspects of music, he can play less music. And the one last thing I'll mention right now, I get excited and I start talking, or even playing and time disappears. He hears from about three of the different teachers that show up in his life throughout the story. He's told over and over again. It takes him a while to understand. But these teachers keep telling him that sooner or later you're going to have to stop playing your bass. And he doesn't understand that because he's a bass player. But when you're speaking, okay, again, music to me is a language. When you're speaking, what is your instrument? And what's your voice? Your voice is what's coming through your instrument. What is it? Right, your mouth, your lips, diaphragm. But when do you think about it? Rarely. It's what are you saying that's important. Right? And when you're talking, are you talking mouth? No. So then why are you playing bass? If you're playing bass, it probably means you're not playing music. And shouldn't we be playing music? So it takes him a while, but I won't tell you whether he ever gets it or not. Yeah. But anyway, that's a pretty good synopsis of this story of the music lesson. And it is available here. There's going to be a few copies in this library, is that correct? As of today.
It is an excellent book. I've read it from cover to cover. Thank you very much.
Me too.
Thank you. It's very good.
I insist that everyone purchase a copy. And if you guys support this fabulous man, and it's well worth every cent.
Thank you.
All right.
And before we go, I just want to see if anyone has questions. I will play a little bit more, because I love to play. And just to let you know, a little plug, I'm playing tonight and tomorrow at Catalina's with my brother Reggie, who actually taught me to play. My brother Joseph. Reggie plays guitar. My brother Joseph, who's been touring for about 70 years with the Steve Miller Band, is playing keyboards. And I can't always get him, because he's out on tour sometimes. And a wonderful drummer named Dorito Watson. So we'll have a quartet.
And the information about this show is on this postcard that you should all have in your seats.
So I'm not really a sales person. I really don't care whether you buy the book or not.
I do. I insist.
But I do care about if there's any way that I can help people speed up the process of enjoying music. If you think about a kid playing air guitar, he's got a smile on his face. But as soon as he takes a lesson, his smile's gone. And it takes a long process to get that smile back. And I want to see you smile. You know? And it's not hard. It can happen in an instant. It's all up here. But I'll repeat another thing too, is what does the world need with a musical musician? If your practicing is not helping everybody else in the world, why do it? So, for the most part, that's what I'm interested in. I really don't care how you play. It's what's going in. What's going into it will affect what the people hear. And to repeat one more time, if you're playing your instrument, you should question me. Any questions? Yes, sir?
Having said all that, now I'm wondering, do you practice, and if you do, what do you practice?
Sure, good question. Turning it into a language course, because to me, music is a language. And whenever I have a question that's kind of tough, that I don't know the answer to, I turn it into an English language course. And then usually the answer lies. So, listening to you speak, I'm wondering, how did you get so good at English? What do you practice to speak the way you do?
I just talk every day.
There you go. She didn't say I practice every day, which is what we say about music. She said, I talk every day. I play almost every day. I play. Do I practice? Absolutely. But I practice a little and I play a lot. Think about English. If your English teacher teaches you a new word in English class, does she stick you in a corner and make you practice that word? What does she have you do almost immediately? Yeah, put it in the context. Okay, you said the word once, twice. Now let's use it. Let's play. That's the way you get good. You don't stand outside the pool and do this. Get in the water. complain. When I was five, maybe six, my brothers and I and my whole family, we were living in Sacramento. And we got the wonderful opportunity of doing a tour as an opening band for a great soul singer named Curtis Mayfield. And at 5 or 6 years old, I remember it totally because it was such a huge thing. But we didn't know we were too young to be able to do that. But I've been playing since I was two. And I learned how to use practicing a little and playing a lot. To the point that even when I'm practicing, I practice what I want to work on, and then in my head, I put myself in front of an audience and with a band, and I play. Because I understand the benefit of actually doing something, especially in front of an audience. I'm not recommending this, but for myself, like everything I just did was unplanned, and I was starting that Stevie Wonder song and kept messing up. If I was at home, I would have stopped the groove and everything and figured out where the problem was. But in front of you, I can't afford to do it. For me, groove is all important. As long as you can do this, that's what's important. So I have to keep that going while I figure out what's that reward. At home, I won't do that. So I practice in front of you because it makes me dig deep and get it right. And I will learn that much quicker. So a child learning to speak, but he has no one around, what does that child do?
Speaks.
He starts talking to somebody. Right? Imagines someone to talk to. That's brilliant. But if an adult does that, we lock him up. But the kid is smart. The kid doesn't even know how smart he is. But he puts himself in the real context. I have no one to talk to. I'll make it up. So when I'm playing, practicing by myself, there's a band. When I'm playing today, it's not just me. I'm hearing the drums. I'm hearing the chords. I'm hearing the melody. And because of it, so are you. So, I recognize that playing is where it really comes to life. And so even when I'm practicing, I try to quickly turn it into playing.
Speaking
of
which.
Hopefully that answers
you. Yeah, speaking of which, perhaps we could get another
clue. Sure, sure.
How do you feel about that? Yeah. 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 That's great.
Any requests?
No.
The last, okay, good job. Have a win. In this book, there are a bunch of chapters, but instead of calling them chapters, we call them measures. And at the beginning of every measure, there's a handwritten measure of music. All right, so you're getting this song chapter by chapter. Once you read the whole book, you have all the measures. You get a song that's called The Lesson. And that song, The Lesson, is on a CD of mine called Palm History. I think the library is going to have a couple copies of Palm History, right?
Yes, exactly.
Right, so the song from the book is on the CD. And actually, we released them the same day. I thought that was cool. The book and the CD came out the same day. But anyway, this song, The Lesson, that's on the CD, is written one measure at a time in the book. So once you read the whole book, you'll be able to play this just like this. This is called The Lesson.
Thank you.
Instruments. What would you suggest to the youngsters today if they wanted to follow in your footsteps? What would be the first thing or two that they would need to do?
The first thing I would ask is why?
Why?
Why? Why do you want to do it? And I'll just give you a little hint. Is that, and there's no, any of these things I'm going to say, nothing guarantees whether you'll be successful or not, except you. But when you answer the question to why, figure out whether your answer is self-serving or world-serving. In other words, if you're going to get good at music, how does that affect anyone else? How does that help anyone else? And if you can't see it, then question whether you should do it. So that would be my first thing, is why? Why do I want to do this? Then the only other thing I would say to keep it short would be to do it truthfully. Be yourself and be the best you you can be, because then you're already an original. And our favorites at anything, doesn't matter what it is, the people we aspire to be like are people that were original. And so to copy them is easy, but it'll never be worth as much. I could paint the Mona Lisa, but it'll never be worth as much as the original. I could put a real smile on the face. But it'll never be worth as much as the original. So you're already worth more because you're original. Don't give that up. But be truthful. That way, even if you have a small audience, they'll love you for who you are. So ask yourself why you want to do something. Figure that out. And then do it truthfully. And don't stop till you're successful.
Excellent. On that note, the library has very Activision and the library generously donated an Xbox and Progress free game. For those who wish to put their name in a hat, 18 and under only, please don't make us card here. Don't make us card here. We'll draw after his concert today. And I have also donated an acoustic guitar. I would love for some young kid to have this and make great music. So if you want to put your name in a hat, we're going to pass out little slips of paper and pencils. Do you want to that? Or okay, here's a good example. Just let us know.
Jeanette?
Yep.
While we're doing this, I'm going to call my manager, Janetta, to sing us a song. Is that a one tonight? No?
Gave
guessing we'll have to stop soon, but I want to ask one last question before we go. And this is a question for anyone. You don't have to be a musician at all. And you can just shout out whatever you want. But if you could use one word to describe music, your own word, one word to, or someone else's word, doesn't matter, but a word to describe music, what would that word be?
Life, emotion.
Love, what was that?
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Expression.
Happiness.
God.
Freedom.
Anyone else? Joy. Now we can go on and on and on probably for the next 2 hours. But it's what's interesting, these are beautiful words, and no one told you what to say. But I've been asking this exact same question probably for about the last 7 years around the world. Whenever I get a chance to speak to people like this, I ask the same question, either at the beginning or the end. The cool thing is I get the same answers. In Korea, Singapore, wherever. Through interpreters, different people, different cultures, but the same answers. I love that. But here's even what's more interesting. It's the answers that I've never, ever got. Never gotten these answers. When I ask people to use a word to describe music, no one's ever told me that music is notes, scale, theory, modes, work techniques, slapping, tapping, thumbing, right? And most of the people I'm usually talking to play bass or guitar. And no one's ever mentioned bass or guitar. Ever. So then, I ask, why do you think of those things when you play? By your own definition, you're not even thinking of music when you play. And you expect us to hear it? So if those wonderful words is what music really is to you, that's what should be at the forefront of your being every time you play. Every time. If you go to a teacher or an instructor, that's what you're after. Now, guaranteed, your teacher is going to teach you skills, notes, and techniques. And that's good. Because you need them to reach that goal. But don't ever mistake the tools for music. The tool is not music. The music is what you said. The tool is what you give them. But if we can remember that, you'll be good immediately. People will listen to you for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sure, if you want to know something about
that.
Okay, all right. Thank you.